Welcome to Basic Business AI, a podcast dedicated to simple AI strategies for businesses who don't want to get an advanced tech degree or hiring some marketing bro. I'm your host, Josh Thomas. You can find me on all social media at JT Literally. We bring on regular business owners just like you and me to discuss practical strategies, ideas, and perspectives around AI without getting too far into the weeds of the tech. BBAI is sponsored by Conversational Funnels. This is the new way to automate lead generation, qualification, and appointment bookings for service-based businesses. If you want more sales calls on your calendar without having to pay some expensive marketing agency or hire appointment setters, Conversational Funnels are the best bang for your buck in 2024. You can download the blueprint for free by going to conversationalfunnels.com. Today's guest is Andrew Ronchetto. Andrew is an accomplished executive with a proven track record in launching enterprise digital products and leading global teams to success. With extensive experience in sales leadership across diverse industries, he brings a unique blend of strategic vision and operational excellence to be on. Andrew, welcome to Basic Business AI. In your opinion, from your perspective, how is AI reshaping the future of your industry?
Well, first off, thanks for having me. Really appreciate the opportunity. And, you know, to dive right into it, I think the way AI is really changing my industry right now has to come down into the way we operate and across all aspects. So we're in the SaaS business or providing technology to businesses. Maybe I'll say it that way. And a lot of what that means for us is we're almost in some ways competing with AI today, more especially in the generative space, because you can build things yourself. You can get, I'll say, rapid responses or feedback from using AI. And so it's changing the dynamic in the way we engage. And one very specific example that I see a lot right now is, you know, we think about sales. And sales for us have really, you know, I'll say driven more towards the social side of it. So social selling and the ability, you know, we see a lot of automation around social selling. So you'll get the message, hey, I want to connect with you on LinkedIn or something, and like, cool. But there's not a lot of personalization to it. And that automation there is there. But what we've actually been using on AI our side to do is personalize that message so it's unique to every individual, and we're taking the time to really go into who they are and how they relate to what we're doing. So that's maybe a quick intro into it and how it's changing it, but how we're using it.
Yeah, that makes sense. And so let's dive into that. So I've done some cold email campaigns and use Instantly. And one of the things that they use is called Spintax, which is basically finding slight variations to insert into the email so that you're not just sending the same email 500,000 times. And then there's other AI. I think Apollo does this, maybe Limlist or something like that, where they will actually go and review your LinkedIn profile and your website and then like customize the email using AI and then send it out that way. Fascinating stuff. Have you done some of that?
Yeah, absolutely. And I would say we haven't used Apollo or some of the other tools, I'll say, to use their automation, but we've actually incorporated it, the information that we want to or find important into our CRM system. And then we've used that to, I'll say, mold it with AI and then push it out from there. So same kind of process like you were describing, just more on our side, given we're a little techie, being a software company. But not that it's impossible either. I mean, this idea that I can say, hey, I have all this information about somebody, and can you help me synthesize it down to some key points? Like LinkedIn gives you 300 characters. I'm sure you can appreciate that when you're trying to connect with somebody or, but how can I consolidate this down and get across these key points that I want to, so that they'll connect with me? And so being able to walk through that process, I'll say a lot faster, helps you, you know, improve your outcomes from a cold outreach perspective.
Yeah. And really, the theme that I'm hearing you reiterate over and over here is I'm a human being. I'm going to keep humaning, but AI is going to make me more efficient at doing what I already do. It's not going to replace you. It's just going to allow you to move a little bit faster. And that's kind of the goal.
Yeah. And I love it. I talk about it in two ways, like the way you talk about it, being supportive for everything we're trying to do as humans. But then I also I add to it, I talk about the intentionality of it. So rather than it just feeling like a chatbot doing the same thing over and over, like the logic that it is helping to just get into a very specific problem and have a very specific solution without having to do a whole bunch of coding to get there.
Yeah, and that's another way to, it's a whole different conversation. And we focus on, we have an AI company, we build conversational funnels that automate sales. And we focus very specifically on solving the problem of you can't get back to people fast enough, and we suck at follow-up. And AI is great at getting back to people real fast, like 5 seconds or less, and it's great at following up with them until they buy, die, or take out a restraining order. But there's this other way of looking at it, which is, all right, I need to execute this one function really, really well. And if I can train an AI to do it for me, that's one less thing I have to do, just like the sales, but with something a lot more technical. So for a lot of our audience, they're not super techie. They don't run a software company, but they'd like to get something a little more technical done. Can you walk through how we might use AI to accomplish a task that is maybe beyond our scope of abilities? Like for me, developing software, I couldn't even think about that. But if you could show me how to use AI to do it, then I might be able to get it done.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think sometimes, and you've probably talked about this before quite a bit, but we just talk about automating processes. So like when I identify a new lead, part of the whole process of cultivating that lead before I even get to the point of reaching out to them is just going and grabbing a whole bunch of new information about who they are. It could be information from various websites. And so what you have the ability to do, and I'm a power automate person, but we talk about automation as a way of being able to take these tasks, repeatable standard tasks, and do them over and over and over again, almost as if you were just going to crank the wheel till it broke. It's the same kind of concept there, that once you know these are the things that you need, even using generative AI to help you program Power Automate or a similar RPA tool to create that process and then bring it back to an Excel document or to a Google Doc or even a CRM system, if you have something more formalized, that is where generative AI then plus, I'll say RPA, another form of AI, can really help you automate it. So that idea of what is the data I want to collect to help me figure out the lead? What do I want to do with that data? Then use generative AI to say, hey, I'm using X tool. It could be Excel, like I said. I want to go get this data from website A, B, C, or do this Google search or this LinkedIn, so on and so forth, and have walk through a conversation with it that says, hey, based upon what you're using, here's how you can configure it to go get that data for you automatically rather than you having to do it yourself. And I'm trying to simplify it down to really not overcomplicate it, one, but also highlight that you can use AI to help you build tools, but then those tools are AI in themselves. And once you have them, there's something you can evolve and build on as you go forward.
Yeah. And so you said something important there, like we try not to overcomplicate it. And here's the thing that I've learned as I wouldn't consider myself a rock or like an Amish person or anything. Like, I understand technology, but I'm somewhere closer to that lower end, whereas you're closer to the higher end. And here's the thing that I've learned as a non-techie guy figuring out AI. The more intricate your instructions, the more wide and complex the ask, the lower the quality result you get.
100%.
And it's not about like, okay, I want you to learn everything there is to know about calculus and then study American history. And then after that, then we get into chemistry. And then after you learn all of those things, then I want you to tell me the meaning of life. Like, that's not going to work, man. What will work though is I want you to be an expert in this area of calculus and this theory, and I'm going to ask you questions about that. And it's like, if the narrower you go, the better results you get when you're asking AI for stuff. You complicate it by going wide. You get much clearer answers by going deep. Have you kind of noticed the same thing?
Oh, 100%. And that's why, you know, even in what I was describing, like when we go out, we're looking for financial information about companies or even social responsibility information about those companies, just based upon what we're trying to do. And I don't, you know, if you were to pull up Google and you tried to say, hey, find all the financial results and the corporate responsibility things, it's probably just spit back at you a whole bunch of nothing. And I think that's exactly like you're describing. But if you went to Google and said, give me the financial results for JP Morgan Chase, well, it would probably pull them back pretty quickly for you. So it's the same concept for AI as well, to your point. And I see that completely as well, as I need to give it a very finite focused outcome to like hone in on, and it'll do a really good job. But to your point, if I got to have it then go tangential,
yeah, it just gets dumb. You know, it just gets really dumb. I've experienced it myself. Like, you can, if you have a premium account on OpenAI, you can create your own GPTs. And so I'm always doing 1,000 things, and I never made the time for it. And I finally sat down for like 2 hours. I'm like, all right, I'm going to build a GPT that like writes good emails. You know, and then I get in there and I give it all these instructions. I'm like, okay, then you got to ask me this. Then you got to go and get this. And then here's some of the document. Like, I put it all together. And then I had it write me an email. And it was like, unleash the power of delving your unlocking. You know, and it was like, no, that's terrible. It was like the worst email ever, because I did too much and didn't give it enough space to roam. And so it just gave me a bunch of garbage.
Yep. Well, and I love your example, because I feel like that is the experience a lot of people get with it. Especially when you're trying to write your first GPT. I was there with you a while back. We've got 5 to 10 of them now that we use in the business. But to your point and everything we're talking about, each GPT is hyper-focused. So it's like the example I was given earlier about what's the 300 characters I want to reach out and connect with somebody on. Like, we built a GPT around that, because it's a very repeatable process in the sense of the key things we want it to bring out and how we want it to focus and message and sound like me rather than a robot.
Yeah.
Which is working with me long enough that I think it's got enough in its memory that it's figured it out, as scary as that might sound. But just that simple task, even when I program GPTs now, I kind of go into another chat and like, hey, I'm going to create a GPT and here's what I want it to do. And then it outputs all the instructions. And I don't know if you remember early on when people were talking about, you know, now with ChatGPT or any of them for that matter, I can synthesize this message down into this very consolidated few points. And you know, the flip side, the person receiving is like, now I can expand this out into some very complex, you know, conversation. Like, oh boy,
it's always a moving target, you know? And so I want to distill down a couple of things that you just said there, Andrew. And like, so for somebody out here that's listening to this podcast and you're like, what in the hell are these guys even saying? Here it is. No, you're fine. It's just that there's this invisible wall that we create that makes things seem more complicated than they are, right? So here's the thing. ChatGPT is just a piece of software on the internet that you can talk to that has the ability to go and find answers and have a conversation with you back and forth. That's basically all it is, right? And so when we say building custom GPTs, you can pay like, I don't know, what is it, like $20 a month or something. Sign up for OpenAI, which is the company that creates ChatGPT. And you can create a custom GPT that is customized to whatever it is that you do. So if you run a flower shop, you can create a custom GPT that will help you pick out the best flowers for a party or something. If you run a restaurant, you can build a custom GPT to develop new recipes. You just feed it a little bit of the information that you have and that you know, and it starts to learn, right? That's the idea. And honestly, you don't have to be a programmer, right, Andrew? You don't have to go in there and code. You don't have to understand complex programming. You're just having a conversation with it.
Exactly. And I actually take work out for a moment, but I did early on with a model that's a few months old by this point, because they continue to improve on it. That's the other thing I think people should know is if you used it or tried to use it 6 months ago, I'd say go back and try it again if you were frustrated, because I'm sure you're going to see some differences. Right. But I tried to do it. I was like, help me come up with a lawn maintenance plan for me. I got all these variables, you know, I got a lawnmower. I don't have a lot of time. I don't want to pay somebody, you know, here's where I live. Here's what the weather's like. You know, I just kind of pulling in all these metrics, and it's like, well, help me put a calendar together and then output that for me so I can put it in my calendar. And it's done fairly well this year. Like I'm pleasantly surprised how that conversation has evolved into something very personalized for me, but just as kind of a fun hobby approach of trying to use and learn how AI can help in different ways. And so I think to your point and the examples you gave along with mine is kind of go out there and say, hey, I got this problem. How can I go solve it? And just see where you go with it. Last thing I'll leave with you there is, so without having to go get all the consultants, and I'm sure somebody will, you know, listen to this and give me a frowny face, but I reckon some of the versions of GPT to different, I'll say, skill levels of consultants. So early on when GPT-3 was available, which was an early model, you know, probably like a year or so ago before GPT-4 came out, is I likened one or the other to, say, a more seasoned consultant versus a more junior consultant in the way that it approached and responded. I'm very excited, or no, this is the way we do it, you know? And so I kind of share that as well in there to think about it from that angle, because it can help you analyze different things from that kind of critical thinking perspective, and maybe even challenge some of that thinking that you have going into the problem you're trying to solve.
So Andrew, tell us a little bit about what you do, who can connect with you, and where they can go and find you.
Yeah. So I am a co-founder, CEO, and CTO of Beyond. It is a productivity and wellness platform all in one space. We're really focused on this idea that they're not two separate items on a pendulum on opposite sides, but we need to bring them together, especially over everything that's happened the last few years. So how do we do that? How can we bring that capability to organizations that desperately need it, but also for individuals who are really the whole linchpin in the thing, is how do we help them focus on all the aspects of life, look at how there are different trade-offs in the practices they have day to day, and then see where they want to go and help them on that journey. So that is awesome. What we call the Beyond platform. You can find us on social media at Beyond Platform, or, you know, beyondplatform.com. So variety of different ways to engage and find out more.
Love that. So, hey, Andrew Anchetto, thanks very much. We're going to wrap from here. Thanks so much for coming on and being a guest and sharing some real practical conversations around AI and how we can use it to solve our problems. For those of you who want to engage and learn more about productivity and wellness, you can go to beyondplatform.com. If you run a business of any size and you have some ideas or strategies around the topic of AI, we'd love to have you on a future episode as well. We interview business owners of all levels of experience and exposure to AI so we can represent all voices, especially the 90% of us who are curious about AI but not trying to be tech geniuses. You can apply for a future episode by going to basicbusinessai.com. And one more time, if you want to solve the problem of lead generation, qualification, and follow-up by automating it completely, download the Conversational Funnels Blueprint for free at conversationalfunnels.com. See you next time here on Basic Business AI. And by the way, if you like this episode, hey, tell your friends.